It's Live and Local. It's your connection to local music and more. I'm Kevin Kelly. And on the show today, we've got representatives of the Urbana Pops Orchestra who are opening their summer season with a concert this Sunday at Sinai Temple in Champaign. It's going to feature horn player Mark Zyla. And he is with us on the program, along with another horn player from the group and the associate conductor, Stephen Larson. And we'll be hearing about that quite varied program in the first part of today's show. And then from the Krannert Center in Urbana, it's the summer studio theater season, which is starting tomorrow night with a show called, a musical called Title of Show. We've got the actors and the music director, which means we'll make some music on the second half of the show and hear some highlights. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Stay with us. Finally, we get to the end. That was a piece by H. Owen Reed from his Fiesta Mexicana called The Carnival. It's the last movement, one of three movements. And as we were talking, as we were listening to this, sort of an insistent, persistent ending to that. And that is one of the pieces. I should say the Fiesta Mexicana is one of the pieces that's going to be on a concert Sunday night by the Urbana Pops Orchestra. Sunday night by the Urbana Pops Orchestra that's actually playing in Champaign. And we did not give away the second movement of that piece, which is what's going to be on that concert, on a program that is called Around the World in 80 Minutes. And there is quite a bit of music on there from all over the place. And we've got some representatives of Banner Pops with us here on Live and Local today, including the associate conductor, who is Stephen Larson. Thanks, Stephen, for coming in.
It's good to be here. Thanks.
I think you've been here each of the other times we've had chats about the group, which is still pretty new around now since, I keep losing track, is this just the second summer?
This is our second summer.
Second summer. But you've done some concerts in between the summer.
Yeah, we had a holiday program in December. It was on that Snowmageddon day.
Snowmageddon?
Snowmageddon, part one, where we had that big snowstorm. So not a lot of people made it to it, but the people that were there really enjoyed that concert. It was over at Wesley Foundation Methodist Church. And we also had our Dinosaur Duets fundraiser in March, and I think we spoke about that one.
That one I definitely remember, yeah. Dinosaur Duets. You don't forget a program title like that. And so now we're in your second summer season. You've got three concerts lined up, it looks like, and you're looking already ahead to a holiday concert, I see. It says details will be posted as they become available, but folks can look and see what is going on this summer for the Urbana Pops Orchestra if you just Google them, and you'll find them easily enough. But this one, Around the World in 80 Minutes, how literally true will that be?
Well, you mean the 80 minutes part?
Well, either one.
Well, I think it's going to be around 80 minutes, plus or minus an intermission. We timed it out with, you know, CD times and stuff like that. But our objective was to find representatives of at least, at the minimum, each continent. So we have music from Europe, we have music from Asia, we have one Australian piece. It was tricky to find something from Australia. And we have music from Latin America. I don't think we have any music from Africa programmed, but we did. But we'll say that the National Geographic theme is from Africa.
Well,
even though it isn't, we can say that represents.
Okay, so Africa. National Geographic often has Africa represented in its magazine.
Yes.
You're going to have to work harder at that. Tell Daniel. Daniel Sutherland is the music director for the, or principal conductor. What is
yes.
his title? Principal conductor.
He's the artistic director and the principal conductor.
And not able to be with us today. But yeah, he's going to have to work harder at Africa. I can think of some pieces that come from Africa that I can help him with if necessary. For next time you do Around the World in however many minutes.
Yes.
So we'll give us an idea of some of what's representing the various continents that are on the program.
Well, we went all out and we picked the Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, the Movement 4, to start off the concert. And we've got some Brahms, and we have the Variations on a Korean Folk Song by John Barnes Chance, which I think you're familiar with. It's originally written for band, but the orchestral version is just beautiful. It sounds really special for orchestra.
John Barnes Chance, I remember, as seems to me he did a fair amount of music for band. And I don't know if that's a piece I would have done before or not. Our horn players who are with us that we're going to introduce in a little bit, I'll bet you guys have played music by John Barnes Chance. Yes?
Yeah.
No? Mark
it's
says
a, it's
yes,
a pretty
Annie
well-known
says,
piece, if you're a band player. And the La Fiesta Mexicana, as you played earlier. And we've got some Rossini on the concert. And Mark is playing some Saint-Saëns, Morceau de Concert, which is a horn concerto.
And Mark is Mark Zyla, who is the... Now, it says here you're a special guest artist, but I also saw you listed from last year as the principal horn player for the orchestra.
Guest soloist, but... On staff, I believe.
On staff. And you're in the doctoral program at the University of Illinois?
Yeah, I'm in my final year of a DMA starting in the fall.
Yeah, and for those who don't know the lingo, that's Doctor of Musical Arts, which sounds very important.
And horn doctor.
Horn doctor. Well, I know in Champaign they have a radio doctor, but that's just somebody who fixes stereo equipment. Eventually,
yeah.
As I understand his reputation is for eventually getting around to doing it. And you're working with Bernard Scully.
Yes.
There, and we're working with Kaz Makala?
I came in with Thomas Dieslein.
This is a 3-year program. I forgot that Thomas was here.
Yeah.
And so the Morceau de Concert of Saint-Saëns, I think actually Mr. Scully did that recently on his recital, didn't
he? Yeah, he did I think it was in the spring, along with some Bach cello suites and some Gliard pieces as well.
Yeah, it was a wonderful recital. Mm-hmm. How challenging is that piece?
I would say it's something along the lines of a piece that you could revisit several times throughout your career. It's accessible for, you know, advanced high school, early college students. However, there's a lot of opportunities to kind of stretch your technique through the piece, maybe taking faster tempos than you might have taken when you first learned the piece. I'd say it's a Paris Conservatory piece, which they would write horn solos every year, composers to kind of test their graduates' skills on the instrument. So there's definitely some technical passages, but definitely some room to make a lot of music in the adagio section. That's pretty beautiful, actually.
Yeah, I'm trying. I think I played that as a, as you said, advanced high school student, and I can't remember if I won anything on it or not.
Yeah.
Or if I lost. But either way, I do remember playing the piece. And you brought with you one of your students one of the students in the orchestra. Do you actually teach Annie McDonald?
Yeah, she's been a student of mine for about a year now, something like that. And she plays assistant principal in the group. So we kind of get to work pretty closely, just kind of learning the ropes of maybe how to play in an orchestra. She's definitely learning that you don't have months and months and months to prepare music. You get couple weeks maybe, and so she's doing a great job. And yeah, we brought a couple Mozart duets to play, just to kind of give you a sound of what kind of music we would do in lessons and or in the Urbana Pops Orchestra.
So this is something that you have, well, you obviously have worked on it in lessons. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do it together here.
We do a lot of duets, don't we?
Yeah.
What's the advantage, what's the advantage of doing duets in a teaching situation?
In my opinion as a teacher, I find that students gain a lot from modeling the sound of their teacher. So if you have a teacher that plays along with you a lot, that demonstrates the sound that you're trying to achieve, I find that students usually pick up on that. And I found that, you know, through working with Annie and doing a lot of duet and sight reading and stuff makes her pick up things in the music a lot quicker. Like you see dynamics the first time, tempos the first time, rather than having to do it 3 or 4 times in a row to pick up all the musical nuances. So,
how much as a student do you try to emulate specifically the sound of your teacher, and then how much as a teacher do you really want your student to emulate your specific sound?
Well, I think throughout my career I've had some teachers with some pretty varying different sounds. And what I think is a goal through music lessons is to create an awareness of sound in which you can take what you like from certain people's sounds, like Dale Clevenger from Chicago Symphony, or Thomas Yuslein from St. Louis, or Bernard from Canadian Brass and you know, University of Illinois. With all of those teachers, I can take a little bit of their sounds, kind of incorporate it into how I hear music, and then in through performance, I come up with some kind of my own sound in a way.
And is that what you're encouraging for Annie?
Or yeah, I try to get her listening to a lot of different things and just get excited about the horn and get excited about music. And I think through performance and through, you know, playing duets and, of course, doing the normal lesson stuff like scales and etudes and all the stuff that Annie really loves to practice, I think, gain a lot of musical knowledge through playing with, you know, your teacher or something like that. And this goes into my lessons at Illinois as well. I remember playing hours upon hours of duets with Thomas and even Bill Caballero when I was back in Pittsburgh. So,
and Annie, what do you have any horn players that you have heard in recordings or concert that you are especially fond of? Or,
well, I'm definitely a fan of Dale Clevenger and Dennis Brain, but I think I learned the most from listening to someone who's more tangible, like my teacher, because, I mean, there's no better teacher. I learn best through example, and I don't play well when I'm not inspired, and to play with someone, and you can go listen to him in all his concerts, because he plays principal in a lot of the local orchestras, that makes it easiest to hear great music and learn the most through listening to him, and it really inspires me to do better on my instrument and play more.
Well, let's hear a sample of student and teacher together in some music by Mozart, and these have specific names.
The first movement it's a minuet, and then the second movement is an allegro.
All right, and we have Mark Zyla, who is principal horn with the Urbana Pops Orchestra, and his assistant and also student, Annie McDonald, here on Live and Local.
Thank you.
A couple of duets for horns by Mozart, played here by Mark Zyla and Annie McDonald. Mark is principal horn player with the Urbana Pops Orchestra and other groups around, including the Champaign Urbana Symphony, I believe. And Annie McDonald is a student of his and also plays next to him in the Urbana Pops. And also, it was co-principal this past year of the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra and did a wonderful job in there, I can say for a fact. And they're both going to be playing, of course, in the concert by the Urbana Pops Sunday at 7 o'clock at Sinai Temple, which is way out on West Windsor Road in Champaign. And Mark will be featured in a work by Camille Saint-Saëns, the Morceau de Concert, which simply means concert piece, more or less. And Stephen Larson is associate director of the orchestra. Will you actually be conducting anything on the program?
I am conducting the La Fiesta Mexicana.
Oh, well, that explains why you knew that piece pretty well when we were talking about it in advance. Oh, I like this piece a lot. Now, that's one that we only have recordings of here for band, another one where that was transcribed for orchestra? Or
it
start
was
as an orchestra
transcribed
piece?
By the composer in the 70s for orchestra, and the Detroit Symphony premiered it, but I could not find a recording of it either. So there might not be a recording of it. But it's published, and we rented it for this concert, so it's legitimate orchestral work.
Well, then maybe you guys ought to record it.
Maybe we will. The composer is still alive, so we'd have to get his permission to.
H. Owen Reed.
H. Owen Reed, born 1910.
And there's no relation, I assume, to Alfred Reed, who was another big band composer.
I don't think so. I got to learn a lot about this guy when I was doing program notes for the piece, but I don't think he's related to him.
And you mentioned some music by Rossini, and did we skip anything in your previous Around the World in 2 minutes describing the 80-minute tour?
Well, our big finale is the 1812 Overture.
That's a big finale indeed.
Yes, and we're in Sinai Temple, so we're not going to use the canons that are in the score, but we'll have a bass drum or something.
Well, you might have to pay for some building repairs afterwards if you did.
And it'll smell like sulfur, so that'd be gross. But it's the classical pieces that we're playing are really recognizable, especially that other Rossini's, the Overture to the Barber of Seville, which people know from Bugs Bunny. But it's a legitimate classical piece, and I think people enjoy hearing it.
Well, pops means all kinds of things. It can mean movie music. It can mean really famous classical pieces, like you do in the end of the Beethoven Fifth, I think, wasn't that on the list?
Oh, yeah. It was really exciting to hear that at our rehearsal the other
day. Yeah, I'm sure. And you're putting this whole program together in, like, three rehearsals or something like that?
Yeah, and as Mark said, it's to give the students the opportunity to experience what it's like to put music together in such a fast pace.
And there are a lot of students, a lot of high school students in the orchestra, as well as college students and some area professionals.
Yes.
It was quite a mix. So a lot of teacher-student relationships that are developed in this group, which is one of the great things about it, I think.
Yeah, we tried to find principals who were educators as well as very skilled on their instruments, so that we have that educator mindset. And Mark is a teacher, we knew he would mentor the younger players in the section. And Tamara Gingold, who was our concertmaster, she is an orchestra teacher at Urbana School District. So she is not afraid to turn around to the string players and tell them exactly what they need to do to play the
bop
music.
Them on the head if need be.
Oh, yeah, with the bow.
Yeah, she's not out of school, so she probably wouldn't get in trouble for doing that.
Yeah,
she did it. Tickets are pretty reasonable.
Yeah, they're they're $8. I can't remember the price. 10. You have the prices there.
I do have the prices. That was a quiz.
You got me with numbers there.
Yeah, 10, 8, and 5, adults, seniors, and students. $5 for students and children, $12 and under. 12 years and under. Pretty reasonable cost for a full orchestra of a great program. It's called Around the World in 80 Minutes with the Urbana Pops Orchestra. Sunday night, 7 o'clock, Sinai Temple on West Windsor Road in Champaign, and for more information, you can Google Urbana Pops Orchestra. It's got sort of a long web address, or I would just give that to you, but Google is wonderful for that. Well, thanks to Stephen and Annie and Mark for coming in.
Thank you.
And best of luck with your solo performance on Sunday, Mark.
Thank you very much.
It's live and local on FM 90.9. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from Owen's Funeral Home, located at the corner of Elm and University in the historic Trevitt Mansion across from Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Owen's Funeral Home, owned and operated by the Owens family since 1925, invites you to join them in supporting public radio. And I invite you to stick around for our next segment here on Live and Local, which will introduce the new summer season for the summer studio theater program at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, and the opening show, which starts tomorrow. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. We heard the third movement of the Fourth Symphony of Johannes Brahms. That's one of the pieces that will be on the program by the Urbana Pops Orchestra Sunday night in Champaign at Sinai Temple. And you're listening to Live and Local here on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our next segment is about the opening show, I guess. You might as well just call it a show because it's a musical, but it's one of three plays being given in rotation as part of the summer studio theater at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts. For financial reasons, last year they had to take the year off, but they're back with a vengeance, including this musical. And I was just talking with Kent Conrad, who is the music director for the production, of how this title doesn't work on the radio because it's partly visual. It says title of show, but then you have to imagine it with brackets on either side of it. What on earth does that mean, Kent?
Title of show, the musical, is about the process of putting together a musical in 3 weeks to submit to the New York Musical Theater Festival. And the way the musical is laid out is it's showing the creative process from the very beginning up through to the last point when the show goes to Broadway. So there's a point in the musical where they're filling out the form that they're going to submit to the New York Musical Theater Festival, and the form asks for the title of the show, and they're stumped what to put, and so they, by mutual agreement, decide to call it title of show.
So is this somehow based in reality?
Yes, it is. It's two friends, Jeff Bowen and Hunter Bell, that collaborated together, and then they brought in two female friends, Heidi and Susan, who have parts within the show, and the four of them collaborated together to get to the point where they were accepted by the New York Music Theater Festival for several performances. There was interest generated at that festival, and then they workshopped the show further at the Vineyard Theater. And so that workshopping step, it was incorporated into the musical as part of the story and the narrative. And then the subsequent story is trying to get it to the next stage, which is Broadway. And like I said, that's pretty much the last third of the musical. The steps that they go through, the sort of trials and tribulations that they experience as friends, but then eventually reaching the point where they do get the green light to go to Broadway.
So the play was being written in order to present at this particular festival. Does that mean that the part that was presented at the festival is only part of what the play now is?
Yes.
Can you think of any other show that's done this way?
Not in musical theater history, no.
So what are they going to do, extend it once it makes it to Broadway and then?
No, because you know, Broadway was their final goal, their final dream. And so the way the show ends is, like with any artistic creation, you reach a point where you stop working and you release it for good or bad. And so I think that that's why the show has such a very satisfying end to it. The finale where they realize how they've grown together as friends working on this, but that they had reached a point where it was time to let it go.
And you have with you all four of the cast members, and you just named them all, actually. The writer, of the book is Hunter Bell, and he's being played by Jeremiah Lowry. And the music, written by Jeff Bowen, and he's being played by Joe Borsma. And then it's funny how they brought along the two girls. That almost sounds like you had to have girls in a show. So they brought along Susan and Heidi. But there must be more to it than that. But nonetheless, Susan and Heidi are here, and we'll let them speak for themselves in a little bit. Neela Baron is Susan, and Dana Parker is Heidi. Do you all have last names?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, the two girls, because I gave the
Susan boy. Blackwell.
Susan. And Heidi Blickenstaff.
So who are you in relation to the writer and the composer?
We are friends of the writer and composer. Mm-hmm. Just other friends living in New York City, trying to live our dreams.
Yeah. Yep.
Do romantic things develop during the course of the show?
No.
No. No. How was that? How can you have a musical if there's no love songs and people being smitten with each other?
I think it's more the love for the art that they all share.
Yeah. The story is definitely about friendship and how artists, when they're working together, trying to collaborate, they have to be artists, but they have to be friends. And how do you, what happens to a group of friends when they're trying to work on a piece that they're all so intently committed to? How does that affect their friendships? What comes out of that whole thing? So really the story is more about four friends and their journey rather than anything that's love related.
And along with that, just the discovery and the rediscovery of the joy in the creative process.
Yeah, they're all trying to have fun and... you know, have fun with each other in the process, too. So it's a lot of that in the show.
And I assume some element of it is the process of creating a musical.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really, that's what you're watching. Mm-hmm. It appears as if you're watching them write what they are in while they're doing it.
Yeah. Well, that's what it sounded like, and that's why it sounds kind of fascinating. I can't quite imagine the progress of a show that where you knew when you were writing it, you were going to be writing about the progress of the show where you didn't know where the show was going to go in the first place. Do we? And I know we've got some songs here. Are there in any kind of chronological order that this will help us make sense of things? Or
yes, we can start off with every show has to have a jazzy up-tempo opening number, and so the first piece that we'd like to do is called Untitled Opening Number, and basically the lyrics are spelling out all the wonderful clever things they're going to do musically and lyrically to capture the attention of the judges at the New York Music Theater Festival to make them accept this work for promotion.
Do any of the songs have titles?
Yes. Yes.
Real titles?
Real titles. Strange titles, Die Vampire Die, Monkeys and Playbills are two titles.
So is this a musical comedy?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Musical tragedy.
It's not that. No, it sounds like, but it's not a musical love story, apparently. Mm-hmm. Okay, Sorry. So we have, what did you call it? It was
Untitled Opening Number
from... title of show, which is opening the summer studio theater season at the Krannert Center, and we have with us Joe Borsma, Neela Baron, Jeremiah Lowry, Dana Parker, and at the piano is the music director, Kent Conrad, live on Live and Local.
A, D, 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 F sharp, A will be the first notes of our show. We'll start with the seed of an idea, then plant it onto paper with a Dixon Ticonderoga, and then watch it sprout into a musical. And then we'll help to make it grow. Nothing guarantees it will stand out, and its future is unknown. So in the meantime, we will schedule a lot of meetings in Hell's Kitchen to collaborate in my living room, but we can't do it all alone.
So
we'll get together all our friends and exploit all of their talents. We'll explore the latest trends and avoid them when we balance the book with the score.
Lyric
appealing to the judge. These are shapes gently nodging the satiric.
trying hard not to duplicate what we've seen and heard before. And if Bartok's here, he'll appreciate if we're inventive with the score. So we'll put in a syncopation and we'll add a quarter notes. And we'll softly start the coda from a very tiny point. And then we'll get a little louder to further emphasize the point. And then we'll cross downstage towards you. And now we're yelling fortissimo.
Yelling fortissimo.
Yelling fortissimo. It's the opening song. It doesn't have a title, no. And it's not very long, but it's the starting point of our musical. And here's the first of our musical.
The untitled opening number from Title of Show, which is a musical being presented at the Krannert Center starting tomorrow night at 7:30, and it runs through the 26th of June. And there are a couple other plays being given by Summer Studio Theater this summer, and we'll probably hear about those at another time on Live and Local. One little caveat here, it does say on that this production contains adult language. So be forewarned if you intend to bring your young children. You may need to cover their ears now and then. How hard or easy is it for four people to carry an entire musical?
Not too bad. Yeah. I mean, it's demanding. It has its. It certainly has its challenges and difficulties because, I mean, certainly in the case of Joe and I, we're on stage virtually the entire show, and the only time we're not, it's set up intentionally to be exploiting the fact that we're not on stage, and the girls get an opportunity to shine for a little bit, but you don't get a chance to take a break. There's a lot to do. You're singing, you're acting, choreography, and that makes it a challenge, but it's really fun.
Yeah. And in this case, you're the writer, you're the composer, you're the actor, you're the chorus member, you're the dancer.
Yeah,
a little bit.
A little bit of dancing. Was it the usual audition process to get into this show, or I don't know how Summer Studio Theater is selected, if it's by invitation or all audition, or how were you guys?
We auditioned just like normal. Auditioned. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got chosen.
There's a process at the university where they presented it to the students that were there, at least for this particular show, and just invited us all in kind of as an open call to listen and take a chance to be part of the show. And yeah. Kent and Bob sat there and let us do our thing and made some choices, and here we are.
So in other words, you're all students at the university in theater?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, he graduated. But
he meaning Jeremiah.
Yeah, graduated. Yeah. I just finished... I'm very excited about that.
And which degree did you finish?
I got a BFA in acting.
Bachelor of Fine Arts.
Yes.
And now what?
Moved to Chicago and start working. I've got some auditions coming up this month at some theaters up there. And so my goal is to see if I can get some acting jobs or voiceover work, maybe audiobooks or just whatever. See what I can do.
Whatever comes up. Thrown out in the real world of theater, which is... pretty risky, a lot of fun, and you'll be waiting a lot of tables, presumably. That's the stereotype, right?
We'll see.
Have you waited tables so far?
I haven't yet, thank goodness. Right now, I've got a job at the mall, but here in Champaign while I've been a student. But once I move up there, not really sure what I'm going to do yet. We'll see what happens. I'm trying to keep open-minded about it. So.
You can make good many waiting tables, you know.
That's what I hear.
Especially up in Chicago. Yeah. I had a roommate once who had a doctorate in African studies, and he just decided, I'd rather wait tables.
Wow.
Which he did part-time, very happily, but at very upscale restaurants. And to keep from being bored, he would change every once in a while. So you never know. You know, you could support your theater habit by waiting tables or some such thing. What's our next selection, and how does it follow in the story, Kent?
Well, we're talking about the characters, and Hunter and Jeff are sort of the A characters in this production. And so the women, they have a wonderful duet called What Kind of Girl Is She?, where they're sort of sizing each other up personality-wise, and trying to determine personality if they're going to get along together working on this production. And what's really clever with this show is that there's just such a wide range of musical styles with the different numbers. There's a disco number, there's sort of a power rock ballad, and this duet, What Kind of Girl Is She, is sort of an homage to the girl from Ipanema. It's that wonderful laid-back bossa nova rhythm.
And we're going to hear, obviously, the two girls, who are Neela Baron as Susan and Dana Parker as Heidi, from Title of Show at the Krannert Center, opens tomorrow night. Kent Conrad is at the piano.
Who the hell is Heidi?
Susan.
What kind of girl is she? I wonder sometimes if she
even likes me.
She seems to make you smile.
She's got a pretty TV nose.
She's got a kick-ass style.
She's got very kicky clothes.
And she owns her apartment too,
I suppose.
And mine blows. Quel genre de fille est Susan?
A Heidi.
She seems so je ne sais quoi. She seems so incroyable.
And I feel so bourgeois.
That's just moi. It's just.
She's so downtown and funky and sassy.
She's so uptown and fancy and Broadway.
I'm used to being the funniest girl in the room. That's what every show most says.
At least my nose could take her nose in a cage match of noses.
Jeff, it's hard to share the lady spotlight.
I didn't sign the permission slip for any new girly friends, Hunter.
She's got those eyes.
She's got them boobs.
I've got these thighs.
I need your shoe plus.
She might try to steal my husband. She might try to have my baby. I guess I'll just sit back and wait and see. What kind of girl is she? What kind of girl is she?
What kind of girl is she?
Are you gonna eat that pickle?
Is there some context for that last line?
Yes. The two girls and the two guys have sort of paired off, and they're talking to each other. And so Jeff is eating his lunch, and there's a rather tasty-looking dill pickle in his lunch. And so that's the tagline. Yeah. Yes.
So there's a sort of pickup from the context of the scene.
Of the
guess.
Scene, yeah. Yes.
Right.
And then she eats it.
And it's really good.
And pickles are good. Pickles are good. I got to give you that. Kent, were you involved in the selection of the show?
I was. Bob Anderson, who's the stage director, is someone that I've worked with before on How to Succeed in Business. And then I'll be working with him again this fall on Cabaret. And actually, Neela will be in Cabaret in our production, and Dana as well. Forgive me. Yes, I was at the auditions. I played for everyone that came in to sing, and Bob and I put our heads together and came up with our dream cast.
I guess what I meant was, did you help choose the show itself?
No, actually, interesting story. Tom Mitchell, the interim head of the theater department, is very good friends with Larry
Pressgrove,
yes, who was the musical director and the accompanist for the show on Broadway. Well, actually, from its very beginning. And actually, that's another sort of aspect with this show. There is no orchestra, no band. It is just an upright piano. And this is the way that it was presented from the very beginning of the creation all the way up to Broadway. So Larry Pressgrove was the character Larry in the show. So I am the character Larry in the show, of a few poignant one-liners that I'm allowed to speak. But anyway, Tom Mitchell went to high school with Larry Pressgrove and knew of this show. And we actually did selections from it a year ago in the musical theater class that's taught in the spring semester at U of I.
This is not your first time acting from the piano.
No, it isn't. How to Succeed in Business, I was musical director, and I was also Mr. Bigley, the company president. So it was a wonderful wonderful opportunity.
I remember seeing your picture in the paper about that, I believe.
Yes.
And I liked Mr. Bigley as the, I've never seen that show, so I'm still amused by the name of the character, out of context, of course. So we have one more song from Title of Show, and what's its context?
This is, let's say, probably the signature number from the show. It's at the very end. It's called Nine People's Favorite Thing. And basically the message is, you know, what you want out of any sort of artistic creation is you want it to be the number one favorite thing of a small handful of people. You don't want it to be at the bottom of the list for a large majority of people. So hence the title, I'd rather have this be Nine People's Favorite Thing.
And the four actors from Title of Show with Joe Borsma, Neela Baron, Jeremiah Lowry, and Dana Parker, and Kent Conrad at the piano. He's the music director for the show, which opens on Thursday.
We can either follow our instincts or take advice from every joker. We can either be distinct or wind up merely mediocre. But not me, not me. When we set out to write this musical, we said we'd write a show that we'd want to see. We knew we'd never please everyone. Remember that day at Christie's, you said to me, I'd rather be nine people's favorite thing than 100 people's ninth favorite thing. Nine people's favorite thing than 100 people's ninth favorite thing. Yeah, you're right, Jeffy, let's not compromise. Let's keep making something we've never seen. A risk was taken with On the Town, and look what happened. Betty and Adolph burst onto the scene.
A shout out to Condon and Green.
And when Bach and Harnick were writing Tenderloin, they were taking a risk to write a show about whores. When Kander and Ed were working on The Rink, I'd like to think at some point, John looked at Fred and said, I'd rather be nine people's favorite thing than 100 people's ninth favorite thing.
Nine people's favorite thing than 100 people's ninth favorite thing.
When you handed me the first draft of the show, I'll admit I was a little bit, what the heck? But I'm not giving up on you guys until all of us have learned to knit on the bus and truck. On the bus and truck. And who says four chairs and a keyboard can make or bother musical? We're enough with only that keyboard. We're okay with only four chairs. We'll be fine with only four chairs. We'll rock hard with only four chairs.
Ah, ooh, ah.
I am 8 years old in Ohio. It is time for the annual church bazaar. There is a cake baking contest. I am going to be a big star. But I don't want to bake a German chocolate and a seven layer I'll never complete. So I show up with pride this morning with a tray of Rice Krispie treats. And they try to push them aside, say that they are too strange to compete. And sure, most of the judges award the red velvet. But one picks the Rice Krispie treats. Let our show be the Rice Krispie treat. I'd rather be nine people's favorite thing than 100 people's ninth favorite thing.
Nine people's favorite thing than 100 people's ninth favorite thing. Those nine people will tell nine people, then we'll have 18 people live in the show. Then 18 people could grow into 525,600 people, all loving our show.
And maybe
maybe someday, if we're lucky enough, we'll all be in a studio recording the show. And 10 years from now, when we play the cast album, this track on the CD will remind us why we'd rather be nine people's favorite thing than 100 people's favorite thing. Decisions made and we're on our way, and we may lose or maybe we might be nine people's favorite thing.
Nine people's favorite
when we open to nine.
And the song at the end, slightly misleading because the show actually opens tomorrow night at the Krannert Center in Urbana. It's called Title of Show. And we heard Joe Borsma as Jeff, Neela Baron as Susan, Jeremiah Lowry as Hunter, and Dana Parker as Heidi. They are the cast. And Kent Conrad is the music director. He was at the piano. And thanks to all of you for coming in and giving us a preview.
Thank you very much.
And the show continues through the 26th of June. For more information, go to krannertcenter.com. It is at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts from the Summer Studio Theater. And coming up, we have the Writer's Almanac. If you're listening to 90.9 or classical music, starts at 101 on 101.1 FM, and then everybody goes classical starting at 106. Here's a quick look at some of the other things you can go see and hear live in our listening area. The musical Cats opens at the Little Theater on the Square in Sullivan. It's today at 2 and 8 o'clock and then continues for quite some shows. There's the traditional live Irish music session at Bentley's Pub in downtown Champaign. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. Tom and Matt Torino are playing at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 7 o'clock. It's Beehive, the 60s musical at Peoria Players Theater, 7:30 Thursday through Saturday, and then a Sunday matinee at 2:30. High Cotton play bluegrass at the Krannert Center tomorrow evening at 5, and we're going to have some of their members on tomorrow's show here on Live and Local. And David Rothenberg, Charles Lindsay, and Jason Finkelman give an interesting program of improv at Indigo Artists Co-op, in downtown Champaign tomorrow evening at 8:30, and David Rothenberg will be on our show tomorrow as well. And finally, well, not quite finally, Olivia Flanagan sings jazz at the Iron Post tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And ensembles from the East Central Illinois Youth Orchestra will be at the Chapel of St. John the Divine in Champaign tomorrow night at 7 o'clock for a pre-program. This is Illinois Public Media, WYNL-FM and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266 AF Urbana and W293 AF Danville. WYNL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois, and we have support from the Corkscrew Wine Emporium, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with wines for the series collected to the first-time buyer. Wine tastings are held on Saturdays from 2 to 6 p.m. in the Bouvon Wine Bar. This Saturday's tasting features Marco Furlan of Furlan Castelcosa Winery in Italy, pouring a lineup of their family wines. Details are available at thecorkscrew.com.